Sex, porn, love addiction is all about self-soothing to manage your emotions. It got set up back in the childhood development years. It's just not about sex, it's not about porn. It's all about the repeated use has set up the physiology to crave those dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, self-manufactured drugs in the body. It's impacting women, men, children aged 10 to 75 across all the age ranges, the sexes, the cultures, the professions. It increased exponentially during COVID lockdown and impacting so many lives. The Kairos Center has created the first online comprehensive sex, porn, love addiction. It's a video on demand recovery program which you can access from anywhere in the world and begin to see identifiable changes just within 6 weeks of beginning this weekly program. Kairos means your appointed time. Isn't it your time to reclaim your life? Bring color back to life without shame. Click the link below and begin your journey. You owe it to yourself and to others. Triggers. We're looking at managing your triggers, but first of all, we've really got to understand what is it that we're talking about when we refer to triggers. They're a daily occurrence, and so much of sobriety, so much of maintaining your sobriety, is how to become aware of your triggers and how to manage those triggers. I call them risk management. First of all, you've got to know what are the triggers peculiar to you, and then you've actually got to know, how do I manage, anticipate those possible triggers where I can, and therefore how to avoid them actually becoming triggers and then moving up to the next level of a threat to act upon them. Let me read you this article. I came across this article some time ago, and it's interesting because triggers happen in all the areas of compulsive behaviors and addiction behaviors. And this article, therefore, is not just coming at it from sex, porn, love, addiction. Interestingly enough, this lady, Caroline Spring, who wrote this article, is coming at the issue of managing triggers, two articles that she's written, part one and part two, but managing triggers from someone, herself, who underwent extensive childhood sexual abuse in her childhood and has had major effects and ramifications upon her, both as a child and as an adult. And she identifies the issues of triggering her back to respond emotionally to the issues of childhood sexual abuse that occurred in her life. Her article, part one, is entitled Managing Triggers: Why Triggers Are Nothing to Be Ashamed Of, by Carolyn Spring. I'm walking towards the post office with humdrum thoughts rolling in my head of things I need to do, wondering if I got everything I need for tea, pondering a response to an email, the flip-flop ordinaries of everyday worries and concerns. Nothing unusual, nothing remarkable. And then, I can't even tell you what happened next, because it's snap, click, snap, in a moment, in an instant, and I'm not conscious of it happening at all. But my heart wants to burst like aliens coming out of my chest. There's a rage of energy ripping up my legs, and I can feel myself falling inwards and losing touch with myself. Then it is a minute later, maybe it's an hour. Time has no meaning, and my brain is scrunched up inside my skull with weariness and confusion. What just happened? It was a man with a camera, a dog, a child crying. I don't know what it was. but I was triggered by something and it seriously messed up the last few minutes, hours, or even days of my life, and I feel indignant and huffy with myself for it happening. And in the role of accusations and razor-like mental comments, you're stupid. Why did you have to react like that? What's the matter with you? You're pathetic. Get a grip. This is ridiculous. And then, like glaze on the top, the despair. I'm never going to change. I can't do life like this. This is hopeless. And possibly, just for good measure, a dollop of panic. I'm never going to get my work finished now. Everything's going wrong today. I can't cope with all of this. One of the hardest things that I found in dealing with triggers was the aftermath, the shame, the self-blame, the sense of failure and powerlessness that once again, something had happened that I had no sense of control over. Learning to manage my critical self-talk and self-soothe rather than lacerate myself after being triggered was a key waymaker on my journey of recovery. When I felt ashamed and powerless, I would set myself up for a double dip and trigger myself again with my own self-directed abusiveness. But once I realized that the triggers made sense, that my reactions were automatic and that I had been hardwired to do that in my brain, I began to be able to take control of my triggers and reduce my self-hatred for being inflicted for them. In this article, I want to explain what triggers are and what happens in our brain when we are triggered and why they're not our fault, or maybe they could be viewed as an appropriate source of the way the brain tries to help us, rather than moving into self-blame, self-condemnation, and self-criticism.